With your permission, I would like to start with your permission with the Haftarah of this is Parsha. This Parsha is the end of Sefer Bereshit, as well a diving board to Sefer Shmot that's called the Book of Redemption, Sefer Gula. So the Haftarah of this is Shabbat, this Parsha Vayechi, you can find in Sefer Melachim, Aleph chapter 2, and the Haftarah starts Vayikrivu Yemei David Lamut. So comes the Gemara, it says, and the Gemara says, if it says Vayikrivu came closer the days of so and so, this means what it means really is that person, particular person we're going to talk about, never reached his father's age. David HaMelech lived 70, his father at least 400, his grandfather at least 400, his great-grandfather at least 400, David only 70. And therefore, the Navi says the words, Vayikrivu Yemei David Lamut, that David's days came close to the end to die. So the reason why the Navi says his days came close to means close to his father. If his father lived 400, he is going to live only 70. Comes the Gemara and tells, by the way, this is Parsha also, if you turn over the page, since this is second sentence, this is Parashah, it says, Vayikrivu Yemei Yisrael Lamut. Says the Gemara, the same thing applies to Yaakov Avinu, his name is Israel as well, that Yaakov Avinu also, he lived 147 altogether, but he did not come close to his father's age, Yitzchak, that he died at 180. Again, maybe you need information. I don't know why this information is so relevant. What difference does it make? Who says you have to get close to your father's age? By the way, if you take the whole Tanakh, Parashat Bereshit, Parashat Noach, and continues, that doesn't say anything about if you are close to your father's age. For example, Abraham lived 175, his father Terach lived 210. And you take Sefer Bereshit, Parashat Bereshit, Parashat Noach, the 20 generations, you see some of them live much less than the father. What difference does it make? What does it make if you live as much as your father? And if it does matter, then it means the whole Tanakh has to be fixed. It's not that Yaakov Avinu and David HaMelech. By the way, it's also Moshe Rabbeinu, also the Gemara says, come with the same statement. By the way, Moshe is the same. Moshe also, he lived 120, and his father, it was Amram, lived 137. Again, this is based on the Pasuk. This HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu, Hen kehavu yamecha lamut. This is HaKadosh Baruch Hu uses the same word that the Tanakh uses for David HaMelech and for Yaakov Avinu, is to tell you, to teach you, knew Moshe also did not live as much as his father. And the question again, what does it make? So he didn't. So who said that he has to? And what does it mean if he didn't? So what does it mean? It makes him less tzaddik than his father. So it means Yaakov is less than Yitzchak. All the Chachamim disagree, and all the Chachamim said Yaakov is called the Bechir Avot. Yaakov is the highest from Abraham and Yitzchak. And of course David is not less than his father Ishai, and definitely Moshe Rabbeinu is not less than his father Amram. Nevertheless, those three entities are so-called big called in the Tanakh that did not reach the father's age. By the way, as far as reaching ages, the Midrash says it's not important how old you are, how old you were when you give back to Neshama to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. As long as you accomplish what you got to accomplish, doesn't make a difference. How many years this guy lived? Again, if this was the guy's tzaddik, he accomplished more in his years. But doesn't matter, big tzaddikim died very young, and they're not less than others. For example, the Gemara says, the Gemara says a statement that Shmuel equals to Moshe Naon. Of course, it's impossible to say such a statement, because we do know that Moshe Rabbeinu is the highest and the biggest. As Moshe Rabbeinu's neshama is not in Gan Eden event, Moshe Rabbeinu's neshama is next to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, next to Kisei HaKivod all the time, that no one else is there. He says, you cannot tell me that Shmuel HaNavi is like Moshe Rabbeinu. Nevertheless, the Gemara uses this phrase and says, Moshe Aaron v'Kohanav u'Shmuel v'Kohen Shmo, that Shmuel is like Moshe and Aaron. Something that says it doesn't mean that. It means something else. It means the accomplishment of Shmuel in 52 years, that Shmuel lived only 52 years and died after 52, the same accomplishment in his lifetime as Moshe accomplished in 120 years. It means the job that was given to Shmuel, Navi, he completed the job in 52 years. That's what it means, Moshe Aaron v'Kohanav u'Shmuel v'Kohen Shmo. The Shmuel Navi is equal to Moshe Naon. It's not equal in his stage upstairs or in his deed. What it means is he is as Moshe Naon. That they completed what Hashem expected. Shmuel did his job at 52, but Aaron did 123 and Moshe did 120. So again, it doesn't matter how long you live and how old are you. It doesn't make a difference. Nevertheless, this is the Haftarah. Rahamim said that is the relationship between the Haftarah and the Parashah. The Parashah, the second sentence says, that Yaakov Avinu is getting close, it means to his father's age, he was only 147, as well the Haftarah starts in the same statement, David Lamut, it doesn't matter. And really, if this is what's so important, let's assume, of course, maybe that is. So, Chachmei Yisrael, they chose Haftarah. Muchas gracias. So Chachmei Israel, when they chose the part in the Tanakh to so-called to adopt it instead of the Chumash that we weren't allowed to read in the Beit Knesset, when the Goyim made this Gezerah, this is because they found another pasuk in the Tanakh that says that somebody died closer to his father's age. So what is this? This is what you have to know. Instead of, if somebody is going to tell you, don't read the parasha, he says, forget about Parashat Vayechi. He says, instead, just read the Haftarah. He says, what would you learn from it? You will learn from it that David HaMelech died at the age that did not reach his father's age. What does it make? So you can read the information about Parashat Vayechi. Amen. The Torah says like this, Vayechi Yaakov et Mitzrayim 17 shana, Yaakov dwelled in Egypt 17. So of course we all do remember Lesek Parasha when Yaakov arrived to Egypt, Paro asked him, how old are you? And he said 130. So whoever knows math doesn't have to be a genius. And if the Torah tells you Yaakov is in Egypt 17, you can add up yourself that today Yaakov is 147. The Torah is not satisfied with that math, doesn't trust you. ויהי יעקב שני חייו שבע שנים ורבע מאות שנה. התורה says, okay, now tell Yaakov is 147. He says, הקדוש ברוך הוא, אני לא ברוך השם מת, you don't tell me that. As long as you tell me that Yaakov is 17 years in Mitzrayim, I know, I remember from last week, he was 130, it's 147. The Torah does not have to tell you it's 147. ויגרו ימי ישראל, עמוד יקרא לבנו יוסף, ואומר, לא ימנם צאתכם עיניך, I called up Yosef. And he tells Yosef, if you really, I find favor in your eyes, please, I want you to swear to me. I don't want to be buried in Egypt. I'll dive in the same time, but you can carry me and bury me in Marat al-Makfila, and Yosef said, okay, I'll do what you wish. So Yaakov is not happy, and it doesn't satisfy him, Yosef's promise. He says, I want you to swear. So come the Chachamim and says, how come? The Chachamim says, listen, Midrash says the following. It says, since Yaakov is Ruach HaKodesh, he knows when he'll pass away, Yosef is going to come to Paro. And Yosef is going to ask Paro to take Yaakov to Marat HaMachpelah to Hebron, and Paro will say, no way, Jose, you're not leaving. So Yosef will say, wait, but I swore. So Paro is going to tell him, if you did swear, you know you can undo it. You go to a rabbi, you give him $2, he'll undo it. If it's expensive, rabbi, so $5. I once heard somebody came to a cemetery, it was a yotet for his father. So the guy from Chevron Kadisha said, what do you hear for? He says, my father yotet. He says, but I don't know how to say Kaddish. So the guy from Over Kaddish said, can I say the Kaddish for you? So he went and said, okay. He says, so how much is it? He says, it depends. If I don't close my eyes, it's $2. If I close my eyes, it's $5. So, Paro is going to tell Yosef, go to a rabbi, and this cheap rabbi will undo this word to you. And therefore, Yaakov tells Yosef, if Paro is going to come and tell you, don't go to Israel, and you're going to tell him, I have to go, he's going to tell you, don't go. So therefore, swear to me, and then you're going to tell Paro, you swore. But then Paro is going to tell you, go and do it by the rabbi. So then Yosef is going to tell Paro, listen, if I undo this by the rabbi, I have something else to undo by the rabbi. He says, what do I undo? He says, when Yosef was chosen to be the vice president, this was because Yosef knew 71 languages, as Paro knew only 70 languages. And in Egypt, you know, it was very important, the secular idea, and since Yosef knows more than Paro, maybe they're going to make a queue, maybe they're making it of Hamas. But anyway, Paro is very afraid of that kind of to undo things, and it's going to be a blackmail to Paro, and therefore Paro will let Yosef to take Yaakov to Eretz Yisrael. The so-called, that the reason why the Torah writes it, the dialogue that Yaakov had with Yosef, and Yaakov did not trust Yosef, that Yosef has to swear, is so-called a politic involvement with Paro. And the Torah teaches you, you know, since Yosef is going to come to Paro, this, so you have to make Yosef swear, and you can tell. What's behind it? With your permission, I would like to skip to Revi. This is chapter 49. Chapter 49 is when Yaakov is ready to depart from this world. So the Gemara tells us the following. This is parasha, when you look in the Sefer Torah, tomorrow Shabbat, you see that not like the old, most of all other parashiyot, it starts a new paragraph. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu to write the Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, when is the new paragraph start? It has nothing to do with Moshe Rabbeinu, this has nothing to do with the Sofer, this has nothing to do with it's a new beginning of a new chapter. The chapters were made maybe by, we don't know, maybe by Goyim. Nothing about the chapters. Sentences and paragraphs were made by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he told Moshe how to make so-called a stop. So the Gemara says the reason is that Moshe should learn certain things in between, or to Moshe should rest a little bit from something. Anyway, when you look at the Torah, sometimes you see spaces. You see those spaces are paragraphs. Those paragraphs is from Hashem. It's not the Sofer cannot decide where to put the paragraph. By the way, if the Sofer will add the paragraph or eliminate the paragraph, the Sefer Torah is pursued. It's very accurate, has to be. So most of the parashiyot that we have, that when Ezra Sofer divided the parashiyot, we should start every Shabbat. So he made sure it's going to be like a new paragraph. Almost all of them. This parasha is not. When you look in the Sefer Torah, you see last week parasha ends, and this is parasha where Yaakov is on the same line. It's not a new paragraph. Should be a new paragraph. Should be. Yer Chachamim says, Hakam is not a new paragraph. Should be a paragraph, because it's a new story now. And most of the time there's a new thing, there's a new paragraph. The Gemara says, I'll tell you why. And that's called, if it's not a new paragraph, it's called Satum. It means closed. This is parasha, it's closed to last week parasha. This is why it's closed. I said, there are two answers. I said, answer number one is because Yaakov is going to die this week parasha. And therefore, the slavery will start. And all the Chachamim attacks it. Again, this is Chachamim, Satanim said. All the Chachamim, later on, in our generations, and the generation before us, it's not true. Even after Yaakov died, no slavery started. Especially that Yosef is still alive and is going to be alive for a long time after Yaakov Avinu died. And even after Yosef died, until the last of the tribes died, Levi, he died the last one, there was no slavery involved. So you cannot tell me this is parasha, it's called parasha Stoma, it doesn't have a new paragraph. It's because, so-called, to hint to you that this parasha is so-called, it's closed. When it's closed, it means slavery started. It's not true. Comes the Chachamim again and say, the Marai says, okay, another answer. I'll give you besides this. It says, Yaakov Avinu, this is parasha, try to reveal the final date of Mashiach. There are two dates of Mashiach. One date is called Beita, one is called Achishena. Because one date is called final date. That only two people in this world ever knew the final date. This is Yaakov Avinu and Daniel. All the rest of the Nevi'im, when they talk about Mashiach, it means Mashiach might arrive every day. We don't know which day. Will he ever arrive? It's also a question. But again, this is the final date. That he has to come, he might not come that day, but after that for sure you don't expect him. So again, Daniel and Yaakov, they knew the final date, and Yaakov tried to reveal it, and he could not, he had a blockage. Since he had a blockage, this parasha is called Parasha Stoma, it means the parasha does not start with a new paragraph, it means something is blocked over here. What's blocked? The date of Mashiach is blocked. This is what's important, but I don't know, but you'll see later what's the importance of it, that you know the final date of Mashiach, so we can do nothing. Anyway, you can do nothing, so what? It only can give you a depression. You can get depressed, you know Mashiach is going to come in the year 2700, so therefore, you can't do anything about it. So what do you accomplish by knowing the date of Mashiach? Anyway, that's what we're going to read now, chapter 49, Revi'im.
Did you just say that Mashiach might not come by
the... Yeah, Ari said it, not me. I didn't say it. Yeah, I don't say myself, those things like this.
Well, so what will happen this year?
Whatever happened in the wars before. Mm-hmm. We might meet in the next world, Moshe. I don't know if it's going to be in Englewood. Ari says, the Zatan v'Aviram, like this parasha, you see those two entities running after Moshe Rabbeinu all the time. Through the whole Chumash running after him. So the Ari says they remember Moshe from the world before. Not from the life before, from the world before. The world was exist before this world. How many will exist until this one? There's no information. We do know that prior to this one was another one. Let's call this called Shemitat HaGvura, the one is called Shemitat HaChesed. The world that existed for 7,000 years, Hashem destroyed it after 7,000 years, the stock market crashed, and there was a new president, and the world was finished, and then there's no information. How many years later, Hashem decided to create a new one. That's the one we have now. But before the last one, that was just close in years to that one, there was a lot of worlds before. The same creatures, the same thing, everything the same. Not the same universe, of course, and not the same stars and the sun and the moon. It was the same thing, Hashem destroyed it, like almost Hashem did at the Mabul. As it was very close, if Noah would not have been Noah, the world would have been destroyed at that time. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu just saved Noah, so now we still have the world. But otherwise, there would be no world. And it says, it's a possibility that the next world is going to be it's called Tiferet. We have an expo. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not bring Mashiach to monkeys, only to people. So if we will not accomplish at least some of the obligation that we have, Hashem will not bring Mashiach, something like was almost in the time of Noah. If Hashem would not have saved Noah, of course, there would be no Mashiach. And the same thing, Mordechai and Esther. Rashi says it in Tehillim, Rashi says. But after the show, you'll be a little bit more happy. So you're not, don't get depressed yet.
Okay.
Right. So Yaakov, again, wants to reveal the secret. And the question is why he wants to reveal the secret. Why he wants to tell you the final date. What does it make? If it's called final, so you know by now we know the final date did not come. Again, Mashiach may come any day. Let's call Achishena. That if Hashem wants to speed the process, Mashiach may come any day. But Yaakov did not want to say that because that day can be in the same moment. And Mashiach can come every moment. So Yaakov wanted to tell you what is the last date that Mashiach has to appear. It says, what is it? What do you have to know it? Again, Daniel knows the same thing. In Daniel, this is the last pasuk from Daniel that he says about the final lady, but again, he said it in a way that no one understands. What is the difference? Why you have to know it? What does it make to you? No, only Yaakov and Daniel. I really don't know. Or why Daniel? You want to go home now? Coming later, if you remind me. Well, again, you see, Yaakov, and he wants to tell his children when the last date is, right? So then I can reach that date. Because until now, Mashiach didn't show up, right? So what does it make? So Yaakov is calling up his children. This is chapter 49, sentence 1. Ve'ikra Yaakov banav el banav ve'yemer asu yegechem lechashik alachem achet hayamim. I said, I want to tell you the final date of Mashiach. Comes the Gemara and says, at that moment, Yaakov had a blockage and could not see the date. It means he wanted to reveal the time, Hashem blocked it. Hashem blocked it. So the Gemara says, when Hashem blocked it, Yaakov saw that something is wrong. So Yaakov asked the children, I want you to tell me the truth. Is any one of you right now has some kind of bad thoughts about worshipping idol? So the boy said, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. They say that sentence, that says the Rambam, and the Gemara, that says, no chatz v'shalom, we all believe in God. Yaakov said, Baruch Shalom, Rasul Olam Ba'et, thank God. Still, Yaakov felt that they are the blockage. Because he wanted to tell them the date of Mashiach. He knew the final date. He wanted to share it with them, and he couldn't. He blamed them. He thought he knows that the blame is because one of them doesn't believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu the way he should believe, but they denied it. Nevertheless, it's blocked. It's blocked. So therefore, he calls them up now, and now, since they're all over here, next to his bed, is going to tell them not so-called the date of Mashiach, is going to tell them certain things. First one is this to Reuben. So he says, sentence 3, Reuben, Reuben, so the Gemara says like this, Reuben comes inside, so Yaakov blessed him. This is shame on you, because of you, I didn't have what I should have done, what I should have had with my child. You should have been Kohen, you should have been the king, you should have been the Bechor, but since what you did with the bed, that you took my bed from Bila's tent to your mother's tent, it says you lost everything. Blessed is him, says the Gemara, who goes outside from the room, his face is white, down, depressed. So therefore, Yaakov rings the bell, says, Mr. Shimon and Levi, you come in. Because of Shimon and Levi, blessed them. They wanted to kill Yosef, they killed the Shechem, the people of Shechem, blessed them out of the book. It's again, the way the Gemara says, it means Yaakov, again about Reuben, the Gemara says that Yaakov blessed Reuben, he waited for the last minute to bless him. He was afraid if he was going to give him that speech before, Reuben might have just get off the right path and run and so-called join answer. That's what the Gemara says. But again, it's not important right now. What difference does it make? You, in 5 minutes, you're going to give your neshama to Hashem. Yaakov died, it's not, it doesn't matter, but anyway, you're going to depart from this world. It says, what's the sense right now to scream? What is scream? For what is scream? He says, listen, you took the bed. He says, what did I say? Now is the time to talk about it. In 5 minutes, you're going to be in a coffin. So that is the time not to scream at him. Or Shimon and Levi. He says, you killed the people in Shechem. You the one that tried to kill yourself. So what did I say now? That's what you say just before you die. What do you try to say? Next one is Yehuda comes to Gemara, and Yehuda heard and saw the Reuben and Shimon Levi come out of the room with their faces down and all white. He said he wants to go home. So all of a sudden he hears Yaakov, the Gemara says, Yaakov says, Yehuda, come over here, you're okay, come inside. Okay. Are you okay? So sentence 9, it says, Yehuda, Yehuda, Miterev Bni Alita. So comes the Gemara and says the following. You, Yehuda, I thought you're the one that killed yourself. And now I know he didn't hear. I see Yosef here. So then he's going to give him a blessing, and he's going to tell him Mashiach is going to come from you. By the way, Ariel says that Yudah has over here the first four psukim which Yaakov talks to him. So it says this is the name of the Mashiach, name of the Geula. It says Pasuk Chet, it says Yehuda Ata. Ata starts with Aleph. Gua Ye Yehuda, the sentence starts with Gimel. Sentence 10, Lo Yasushev, it starts with Lamed. Sentence 11, Yudalet, starts with Aleph Osrila Gefen. It's Aleph Gimel Lamed Aleph. This is the name of Mashiach, the name of the Geula. That's what you have to learn. Kavanah it says every day. Yishmoneh says, Ata Gibor Olam Hashem, Ata Gibor Olam Hashem, the deviation of those four words is Aleph, Ata, Gibor is Gimel, Olam is Lamed, Hashem over there in the Shnuot is Aleph, Dalet, and the Nyud is again is Aleph, Gimel, Lamed, Aleph. It says over here, the first four psukim that Yaakov talks to Yehuda, he tells him, Mashiach. And he tells him, Yishmoneh Yehuda, Mashiach comes to you. He says, excuse me, Yaakov, with all the respect, he's called Yosef, he's called Yosef. What do you mean? Okay, he didn't kill Yosef. Okay. But he came and he told you that he found the garment, according to the Midrash, and he is the one that told the brothers to sell Yosef. Not only that, comes the Gemara and says, don't praise Yehuda that he saved Yosef. Says the Gemara with a statement. If somebody is going to praise Yehuda that he saved Yosef from the pit, it means you really, what you do is really you cursing Yehuda. Because the job that he did was very bad job. You should not have told him. You should not have told him. You should stand firm and say, we're not doing anything to him. Yehuda was the king and the brothers really blamed him for that, that he gave them that advice to sell Yosef. Nevertheless, comes Yaakov, he says the traitors him. He said, he didn't kill him. He says, you have nothing to do, nothing to worry about you. You're excellent, Mashiach come for you. So Mashiach come for you, he sold Yosef. By the way, Aseret HaSarah Ugei Malchut, by the way, Chachamim say this, the Tanaim, they were killed after the destruction of the second Beit HaMikdash, this is because of the sold Yosef. He says, yeah, Yehuda is to be blamed, nobody else. Comes the Ari and says the following. In the Tanakh, they find two stories. One is about Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, the three tzaddikim. Then when Nebuchadnezzar, Yimach Shemo, and Zichro, he made a statue. And in the statue, he put Shema Meforash, and the statue was able to talk and also to give so-called advice. It can also reveal futures just because he had Shema Meforash inside. But the Nebuchadnezzar took from the Choshen of the Kohen HaKadosh, he took the inside of was in the parchment inside the Urim Tumim, and he put it inside the statue's mouth. So Nebuchadnezzar built a very big statue. It was not Avodah Zarah, actually, the Gemara says, but was just like a statue of liberty. Very tall, very nice. And then Nebuchadnezzar said that one day he wants the whole world to bow down to the statue. And the three people did not bow down was Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. All the rest of the family didn't bow down. Of course, some other people ran away. And nobody knew if they did or didn't. But whoever was standing on the street, and they had the KGB, and the KGB went and told the Nebuchadnezzar the three people did not bow to the idol. He called them up, he said, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. He said, what's going on? He said, we bow down only to Hashem. He says, it sounds like Abraham Avinu, right? He says, it's true. Sounds like Abraham Avinu. He says, you want to know something? If you're Abraham Avinu, let me try. He says, Abraham Avinu, I heard they made a fire, and it's women's side, because he believed in God. He says, I'll throw all of you inside, and let's see if you survive. He says, okay, fine, ready. The Gemara says, they went to Yechezkel HaNavi. Yechezkel HaNavi was alive. And they told Yechezkel HaNavi they were caught by Nebuchadnezzar, and he wants to throw them into the fire. So they asked Yechezkel HaNavi to call to send HaKadosh Baruch Hu an email. What can it be? If they should, or they should go back and regret. So Hashem told Yechezkel HaNavi the following. He says, I'm telling you, go tell them they're going to get burned. To you, I'm telling you, I'm going to save them. P.S. Does it sound like a joke or something?
Who is
they.
The three of them?
The three of them. Get burned. They ask the Chizkiyahu Nabi, what shall we do right now? Shall we jump into the fire or should we run away? So Chizkiyahu Nabi asked Hashem. Hashem said, go tell them if they jump into the fire, they're going to get burned. But to you, I'm telling you, I'm going to save them. Chizkiyahu Nabi went to them and told them, Hashem said you're going to get burned. And they said, Chazak Baruch, we're going into the fire. Nevertheless, we all do know they came out of the fire. But the question is, what's behind it? And Hashem tells him, don't tell them, and let them, let them, tell them they're going to die, and to you, what am I going to do? Hashem doesn't act this way. The other person that we have is Daniel. The people came to the king. Yahweh had told him about Daniel. Daniel said, you know what, I'll try to see if he's a really holy man or not. He took it, threw him to the lion's den, and so on. Why a lion's den? That's what he decided. And he was saved again. So that's two famous stories. Again, what's behind those stories in the Tanakh?
He loved him,
yeah.
King, he loved
them. Yeah, he loved. But because of the bad people that came and told him bad things, he said, I want to prove it to you that he is for real. He's not a fake mekubal.
Yes,
right. He came to Englewood. So the Ari says the following. Yesterday was Asara B'Tevet. Chachamim say Asara B'Tevet is a crucial day. A crucial date. Some Chachamim say if Asara B'Tevet would have fallen on Shabbat, you have to fast on Shabbat. Rashi Masechet Megillah doesn't agree with that, but one Chacham Abu Dram says it. He says, why? He says, because it says Be'etzem Umazeh, he says in the Tanakh, in Yechezkel, he says, on that day, he says, you must fast on that day. He says, what is this day? This day is when Nebuchadnezzar and Marshmo made a siege in Yerushalayim. Of course, that shows that is the beginning, so-called, of the destruction of Bet HaMikdash. But nothing happened yet. A siege, okay, so, that's it. Hashem Yazor. So this to say that it's more than Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av falls on Shabbat, you postpone Tisha B'Av. Asara B'Tevet falls on Shabbat, you have to fast on Asara B'Tevet. It doesn't make sense. So why do you have to fast on Asara B'Tevet? Just, I don't understand why you have to fast on Asara B'Tevet. But to say if it falls on Shabbat, to fast on Shabbat, you don't fast anything to Shabbat besides Yom Kippur. You're going to fast Asara B'Tevet. Why Asara B'Tevet? Because they made a siege. Why they made a siege? So the Ari said like this, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he created this world, the Gemara says the following, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made Adam HaRishon first. He really wanted to make Abraham Avinu first, as the first man. But Hashem did not make Abraham Avinu, because Hashem said the following, if I will make Abraham and he would eat from the tree, who would come after and correct what he did? Means, Adam HaRishon did what he did, and then came Abraham Avinu, and then Yitzchak and Yaakov, they tried, so-called, to correct, to fix the sin of Adam HaRishon. So Chachamim says the following, says that Adam HaRishon ate from the tree was something that you cannot avoid. It had to be this way. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu had it in mind, and it doesn't matter who would be Adam HaRishon, be Avraham Avinu, be anyone, this would have been done anyway, that someone would not follow the instruction to eat from the tree. But what is really what Hashem wants from us? He says, this is something, a trap, that you cannot avoid. Sometimes you have a test, and the test is so great, it's impossible for you to pass it. Impossible. Like Adam HaRishon had to eat. This is Mansapach, it's the whole thing in Ari, in Zohar, that could not eliminate it. This had to be this way. So what Hashem wants from us, this is the test, was to see if Adam HaRishon, after he ate, he's going to regret and admit. That was the test. If he, after he ate, Hashem would ask him, did you eat? He said, I'm sorry, that everything would be cleared. He did not. He denied it. Not only denied it, he spoke to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with chutzpah, whatever we say. He said, I ate, I'm going to continue eating. Not only that, the Gemara says that Zalman Rishon had too much pride inside himself. He did not want to admit anything. Comes the Gemara and says the following. Yehuda is the first one so-called on this world that was able to achieve admission. This is Parashat Vayeshev, if you remember, three weeks ago, that the story with Tamar and Yehuda. So he says the following. HaKadosh Baruch Hu forced Yehuda into that thing that he should marry Tamar. Hashem wanted it. But again, this is not proper. And they make a bedin between Yehuda and Yaakov and Yitzchak, and the bedin, and Tamar comes and she is pregnant, and Yehuda said, I have to burn this girl. This girl is no pure girl. And then she said, well, I'm pregnant to the guy that gave me this, and of course Yehuda said, I'm the one. Comes the Gemara and says that like this, to admit and to confess, that is the job on this world. That doesn't matter. Sometimes the person sins, says, Ari, the Midrash said, you know, that the sin is so big, but the trap is bigger than the sin that you cannot avoid it. But that's not the problem. The problem is if you're going to admit it, you sin. And that's what Zalman Rishon did not admit. And Yehuda is the first one that admitted. Yehuda is called Yehuda from the word admission. Yehuda was called Yehuda by his mother with Ruach HaKodesh that he is going to admit. Not only he admitted at the time that he is the father of the children of Tamar, as well he admitted in the same time that he is the one that tricked his father with the garment that was dipped in the blood. So Rav Tamim Zia said that Yaakov already knows that the whole thing was a fake, and therefore Yaakov knows already that Yosef is in Egypt all the time. He doesn't know that Yosef is alive, but he knows that Yosef is in Egypt. He knows that Yosef was not eaten by a beast, because Judah told him, after that story, Judah told him. Because Judah admitted to admitted everything. Comes the Gemara and says, if you see the letter, the word Yehuda, as the name of Hashem, Yudah Nehei Bavanei, it means he accomplished Hashem's name. Says the Gemara, I want to explain to you what it means, admission. Admission, says the Gemara, you know, that Yosef was buried in Israel, but Moshe not. You don't want to know something? Why? I'll tell you why. Because in Parashat Vayeshev, when Yosef tells the butler to go to the tower that the Jew in jail, he tells him, I'm a Jew. But nevertheless, Moshe Rabbeinu, when he arrived to Yitro's house, and the girls over there said, there's an Egyptian guy, Moshe, when he comes in, he speaks Arabic, he doesn't speak Hebrew. Says the Gemara, Yosef admitted he is a Jew, he will be buried in Israel. Moshe did not admit, he will not. So what difference does it make? I said that's what it means. If you admit, you correct the sin of Adam HaRishon. If you don't admit, it's the same as Adam HaRishon. Yosef admitted partially, not 100%. The Gemara says, Baseter, it's not in public, but Yehuda in public. Says Yehuda's job, that he advertised, that he's seen, that he's sorry what he did. He's sorry about everything. Therefore, says Ari, that's exactly what the Torah says. That Yaakov, when he calls his brothers before he dies, he blessed Reuben, he blessed Shimon and Levi. Those three never admitted in public, not in public, Shimon and Levi, about what they did. When Yaakov told them, listen, I'm going to depart from this world, the Shimon and Levi said, bon voyage. I said, excuse me, remember in Shem, remember, I was upset at you. They don't respond. I said, now you see Yosef is in Egypt. I said, you try to kill Yosef. They don't respond. I said, they never admitted. So therefore, Yaakov blessed those three. On the contrary, he called Judah, he says, come over here. Mashiach is going to come from you. Why Mashiach is going to come from you? Because Adam HaRishon should have been Mashiach if he would admit it. He did not admit. It says, the sin is not that he ate. The sin was that he did not admit. It says, Judah is the first one that admitted. And therefore, Yaakov calls him up and says, don't worry. It says, I know that you did not kill Yosef. I do know that you sold Yosef. But you admitted. You admitted Therefore, Yaakov blesses Yehuda, and therefore he tells him Mashiach and company. And that is really the blockage. The blockage that Yaakov cannot reveal the secret about Mashiach is because Mashiach will not come unless we admit. It says, that's why Yaakov doesn't know why he doesn't know the date of Mashiach. He does know for himself, but he cannot reveal it. He cannot reveal it, that's because the brothers don't let him to reveal it, because those first three, Ari says, they block it. They block it because they didn't admit. And therefore, Yaakov, before he dies, he calls them up. He says, okay, come inside. He says, okay, your father is going to Gan Eden. You want to say something to your father? He says, you know, this is our custom. After 120 years, the beloved one dies. He says, okay, the Shabbat Kaddisha tells the person, say, ask Moshelah from the person. If he did anything wrong, ask Moshelah from him. He says, what do you mean ask Moshelah now? Of course, means that tomorrow he can't ask anymore, because tomorrow is going to be in Gan Eden. But on the contrary, so he doesn't understand what it means. It means that you have to ask, you have to admit. He says, here, Yaakov, through Yaakov. Yaakov called up his brothers before he died. He says, I'm going to die. Come over here. He says, okay, no, you got to say something. He's got nothing to say. Nothing to say? He says, none of the brothers admitted. None of the brothers admitted. Not only that, even Yosef himself, he says, is not 100%. Because he spoke Lashon Hara about the brothers and never asked forgiveness from the brothers, never admitted anything. And therefore, he says, this is really what the parasha is all about, called Parashas Tumah. He says, you should know that Yaakov Avinu, he is so-called master of truth. It's called Emet. This is Yaakov is Milato Tiferet Emet. This is Yaakov is Emet. This is as if it's truth 100%, so you have to confess, you have to admit. He says, that's mainly Yaakov. Sometimes, yes, I'll tell you in a minute what's missing in Yaakov. But really, what Yaakov is so-called is the symbol of truth, the symbol. It says, Titen Emet LeYaakov, Yaakov is the symbol. So Yaakov really, that's what he wants to achieve. That he wants to say, what's the final date of Mashiach? It says that you should know what you're up to. It says the final date is necessary for the generations to know what is the thing that blocks Mashiach. The blockage that blocks Mashiach is so-called dishonesty. This is if people cheat, if people don't say the truth, people don't want to admit, this is, it's not because of me. I'll tell you what it's because of. Kanzari says the following. On Tisha B'Av, of course, it's a fast day again, it's a siege. But what really happened on Tisha B'Av? So the Gemara says the following. It says, Nebuchadnezzar one time had lunch, live rabbit with mustard. It was a chewing on the live rabbit. Happened to be that Titzkiyahu came inside while he was chewing on the rabbit. And Titzkiyahu said, oh my God, I don't believe it. Is chewing on the rabbit sounds like Chinese? Eating a live snake, a live rabbit? So Nebuchadnezzar was very embarrassed. And he says, don't tell anybody. He says, no, never. He says, I don't trust you. Please swear to me. Swear to me you'll never say that you saw me eating a live rabbit. He swore to him. And one day was a meeting in the United Nations. They decided they wanted Kiyahu to be the head of the world instead of Nebuchadnezzar, that at that time he was the first Saddam Hussein. And Titzkiyahu said to them, you know, you happen to be right, you know. You have the right choice, because Nebuchadnezzar is an animal. He's not a person. I saw him eating a live rabbit. One of those kings that sat in the meeting in the United Nations sent a text message to Nebuchadnezzar on the spot. He says, really? Shame on you. And Nebuchadnezzar right away sent a text message to Titzkiyahu. He said, I don't believe it. You swore to me, and now you told everybody, drafted everybody, he's going on Yerushalayim. He's going on Yerushalayim, he's making a siege. Come here, Miyahu Navi, to Titzkiyahu, and tell Titzkiyahu, get quickly a white flag from Hamas, hang it outside on the wall, and call up Titzkiyahu, send him a text message, says, I'm sorry. He said, not me. No, Jose. I'm not going to ask for no forgiveness. I'm going to show this guy. Close up the gates. I have the wall of Yerushalayim, I have Beit HaMikdash, he'll never come inside. Emiel tells him, listen, mister, if you don't go and say sorry to him, and you raise the white flag, he's going to come inside, he's going to burn Beit HaMikdash, he's going to kill millions of Jews, he is going to make you blind, he's going to tell you, he's going to take your children and slaughter them. And Yahweh said, no way, Jose. Ari says, what's wrong with this guy? Ari says, nothing's wrong. This is Adam HaRishon. Hashem showed you exactly how hard it is to admit, to say you're sorry, to confess to Hashem, to people, to friends, to your wife, to your cousin, to your neighbor. I'm sorry. Not I'm sorry. Comes the Gemara and says, Chachamim used to say sorry for things they never did. The Gemara says three examples. One example, Rabbi Danasid once said the lecture. And the guy in the lecture had 3 pounds of garlic before he came to the lecture. So from the odor, from the fume of the garlic, Rabbi Danasid said, I cannot say lecture. Who ate garlic? The Gemara said, whoever did eat garlic, said, I ate. And they stepped outside in order to take the blame. The Gemara says, a lady one time came to the Knesset. Rabbi Meir Balanes was saying a lecture, and she said, one of you made kiddushin on me. I says, who? I don't know who made kiddushin on me. So Meir said, maybe me, he wrote it again. The Gemara, well, he made the kiddushin? No. He says, he took the blame. The Gemara brings another example. So Chachamim took blame and confessed and so-called admitted for things they weren't proper, just in order to show us what is the correction that's needed for redemption. Again, this is because the Moshon never admitted. So here comes the cycle, and here comes the Kiyahu, and here comes the Sarab Tevet. And so the Sarab Tevet is a very important Ta'anit. It says yesterday, because this is the date Hashem, Chachamim say, decides about the Hamikdash. The Hamikdash will come down, the Hamikdash we have to build, the Hamikdash will be at all the Hamikdash. Mashiach might come, might not have the green light to build the Hamikdash. And since that decision is made on the Sarab Tevet, this is why. Because the Sarab Tevet was the date that the Nebuchadnezzar came, and Yirmiyahu told Titkiyahu, go confess, go tell him, I'm sorry that I saw you eating a live rabbit. Never did. This is blame. Read it in Yirmiyahu. It's not Midrash, it's not Gemara, it's not Zohar. In the book, in the Tanakh, it says, Yirmiyahu Navi warned Titkiyahu, he says, go outside and tell him you're sorry. Not me. He says, how can it be? He says, that's what the Gemara shows. Because the Gemara don't think it's the first one. Because the Gemara, Leah is the first creature on universe that so-called thanks HaKadosh Baruch Hu. To admit and to thank is the same word in Hebrew. It's called Lehodot. It says, Leah, when Yehuda was born, he said, I have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So this is really one of the reasons of this tefillah. Let's be prayed. אז לא גמרתי את הראשון. The reason why we pray really is because we want to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is the purpose of Tfilat Shacharit. And Mincha and Arbit as well, Ari says, is to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we're still alive and we still exist. It says this is to correct Adam HaRishon that never thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that never confess, never admitted. It says this is really what the Torah tells us, that Yaakov Avinu says, Ari, Yaakov Avinu also had some kind of, we call, a correction to do what he didn't do. It says, we all do know that Yaakov lived 17 years in Egypt, and we all know how to calculate, so 17 plus 130 is 147. The Torah says Yaakov lived 147, is to exclude that he did not reach 180. It says, why didn't reach 180? So the Midrash has one opinion in the following. It says, when Laban went after Yaakov, so Yaakov said, whoever took the trafim, the idols, lo yichye, he's not going to live. The word yichye in numerical value is 33. From 147, if you add 33, is 180. Yaakov should have lived 180. He said with his mouth a statement he should not have said. Why you gave it to us? Why you gave it to us? For what you said it? Why you say it? You owe him anything anyway, to Laban. Why are you saying your word? The person that took the idols will die. Why do you say that? For what? It says this is a damage, so-called, in your mouth, that really the mouth is only to confess and to admit, to praise and to beg, but not to curse. I says this is by Kiruvim Israel. I want to explain to you something. This parasha, parashat Bereshit, parashat Tumah. I want to explain to you what happened. It says Yaakov is going to die. If Yaakov is going to die, it means the flag of truth is going to die. It says no one is going to admit. Look, it says going to call them and call all the brothers. No one will come inside and say, I'm sorry. I was involved in selling your son Yosef. I was involved in hiding what we did to Yosef. I was involved with the thing that happened to Yosef. He says, 22 years, Yaakov is on the floor. No one came over to him and said, hey, mister, I'm sorry. He's not dead. We sold him. Why didn't you come? Why didn't you come? He says, that's what the Gemara says, called Parashas Tumah. He says, this parasha starts on the same number, let's say parasha. It means it's not open. It's not open. What does it mean, it's not open? Rami says, you know what it means? It says, slavery is coming. It says, what slavery? It says, I tell you, Adam HaRishon, he was cursed with slavery. It says, because he did not admit. He says, let me explain to you something. He says, you read the Tanakh, you think, you know, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, and Daniel were tzaddikim. Of course they're tzaddikim. But that's not what Hashem saved them. If somebody is going to ask you, why Hashem saved Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah from the fire, the Bukhari says, why? Not because they're tzaddikim. He says, the Gemara the following. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told you that you admitted, because you admitted and you saved three people, Tamar and the two children from a fire, I'm going to save your grandchildren from the fire. Therefore, and therefore, when the three people ask Yechezkel and Avi, he says, if we're going to go into the fire, Hashem is going to save us. Hashem told Yechezkel, tell them no, they're going to get burned. To you, I say I'm going to save them. So what do you mean? He says, to you, I tell you, I'm not going to save them because of their merit. I'm going to save them because of the great-grandfather, his name was Yehuda. He admitted that he did something wrong and he saved three people from the fire. I'm going to save this great-grandfather from the fire. But not because of their fault. Because he admitted. So when you admit, says Ari, it's not just a credit for you, it's a credit until Mashiach will come. And therefore Daniel was thrown into the lion den. Of course, lion is Yehuda is compared to a lion. And says Daniel as well is the grandson of Yehuda. So the Gemara HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Yehuda because you admitted. In the same time that he admitted about Tamar, he admitted also that he tricked his father with the garment. It says, because you told your father, you confessed and you admitted that you picked up Yosef from the pit and you sold him, that says, I'm going to help your great-grandson, Daniel, pick him up from the pit. So the main thing, says Ari, is to admit and to confess. This is how you correct the sin of Adam HaRishon. It says, this is why the Haftarah and the Parashah, the both, it means like this. That really David's father and Moshe's father, of course Moshe is greater than his father, David is greater than his father, but that's not what it means. It means that if they would have gotten close to the father's age to complete completely what they had to do, they would have been Mashiach. Yaakov would have been Mashiach, David would have been Mashiach, Moshe would have been Mashiach, but something is missing. Moshe Rabbeinu said certain things he should not have said. David HaMelech said certain things he should not have said. He says this is a damage, so-called, in the confession, in the admission, in this thing that you have to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu all the time. And that's what's so-called the last thing in Sefer Bereshit. It talks, that's the first time we hear about Mashiach, when Yehuda is coming inside the room and he says, Mashiach is going to come from you because you admitted. It means this is how you correct the sin of Adam HaRishon. It's not what you did, it's how you regret. It's not why you did it, it's how you confess it and you admit it. And therefore the Ari says, this is the end of the parasha. It says Yosef died 110 years. So what difference does it make really? And he says, no, yeah, it's high in that state, in that sentence high, that Yosef died on Shabbat. On Shabbat afternoon, Yosef died. He says, this is teach you the level of Yosef. David and Moshe. Okay. Yeah, I says, this is called the kingdom. It's called Mashiach ben Yosef, Mashiach ben David, and Moshe Rabbeinu. I said that they have a connection with Shabbat. So the Gemara says this is the stamp of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shabbat is the stamp of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The stamp of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Emet, is truth. It says Shabbat is a truth. I want to send you information. Information, and please pass it over. I know it from, not from New York Times. I know it from the place that I'm going to tell you. Friday morning, the chief of staff of Israel asked one of the people to go to Rabbi Steinman in Bnei Brak to ask him for a blessing before the invasion to Gaza. So the guy came to Rav Steinman, and Rav Steinman asked him, I know from Rav Steinman's house what I'm telling you, not from somebody, from somebody to somebody. And Rav Steinman asked, when is the invasion going to be? So the guy said, it'll be Friday night. Israel wanted to go into Gaza Friday night. So Rav Steinman said, you don't go there Shabbat. There's no rush. You can still bomb on Shabbat, but you don't take the army on Shabbat. The guy said, I'm sorry, Rabbi, but the plan was made. We have to go on Shabbat. So Steinman said, go do what you want. You don't have my blessing. He went back to the chief of staff, and half an hour, they say, before candle lighting, they called the house, and they said, the chief of staff said, okay, they're not going to invade Gaza on Shabbat, they're going to go Motay Shabbat. So Rav Steinman said, no, 2 hours after Shabbat. Not right in Shabbat, it's over 2 hours. And the guys went back to the chief of staff, and he said, okay, 2 hours after Shabbat. So Rav Steinman said, okay, you'll be successful. This is the Chuta Shabbat. That's what the Ariz says. The Zechut HaShabbat always helped on Israel. Yoter Mishisrael Shemim Et HaShabbat, Hashem Shemim Et Israel. It says, the Ariz says, the last sentence is in this book, it says Yosef was 110 years old and he died. It says, the Ariz says over here, hints about Shabbat. It says, the Geula, says the Gemara, says because of Shabbat. Comes the Gemara and says, Achloket Bavli Yerushalmi, if Am Yisrael would have kept one Shabbat or two Shabbatot, Mashiach would have come. They says, what's the importance about Shabbat? It says, Shabbat is the stamp of truth. It says, Shabbat is to correct the sin of Adam HaRishon did not confess. When you keep Shabbat, it's like you confess. It says, Dari, the stamp of Bereshit, so Yaakov wanted to reveal the secret. He says, Mashiach, Mashiach. He says, I tell you, I have an easy solution for you. Mashiach will come and you keep Shabbat. You keep Shabbat, Mashiach will come. He says, then Baruch Hashem, Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us this week, Baruch Hashem, a proof for that, Baruch Hashem, almost no casualties. Just off the record, I want to tell you something. It's very, very strange. I know what happened, but very strange. The three people died from friendly fire. Four died. But four died from friendly fire. You know, Hashem helped us so much that Baruch Hashem, almost no one was killed from those enemies, but the friendly fire killed them. Who are the four friendly fire, you know? I can tell you. One, his name is Aviram. So he was not killed, his parents killed him. When they gave him a name, Aviram. You know, that time Aviram from the Torah. Like you call your child Eichmann. Aviram was Rasham Rusha in the Torah. You don't name your child Aviram. The other two that died from friendly fire, the name was Matan. Matan was the Rasham Rusha. Was the Kohen Avodah Zarah. It says in the Tanakh about him was the Rasha Merusha. I know somebody from Furlong that came to Abraham Kanitsky with his son. He told me the story. And he had a son, Matan. So he asked Baracha from Abraham Kanitsky for his son. Abraham asked him, what's your son? And he said, Matan. So Abraham started to scream, Rasha Merusha! Rasha Merusha! Why you name your son Matan? You name him Natan, not Matan. So four people died from friendly fire. Three, I gave you the information, secret information. The fourth, I also know why. So it means no one died really. It means no one was killed really. This was a big miracle, a big victory that no one was killed. That's what the story is, Shabbat. The Shabbat is the stamp for Kadosh Baruch Hu, it's called Emet. So the Rosh Gemara says, you keep Shabbat, Mashal Kamar Naminam. Huh? Yeah. Right.